Hello everyone, welcome back to more Captain Earth on Metanorn, Episode 7, Midsummer's Nights. And like last week, I have J-Ro here.
I brought the watermelon, Fosh.
Alright, it sounds like a party to me. Even though I don't really like watermelon that much, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll just go along with the spirit of the series.
Right, I mean, it's a good time, summertime for that.
Mm-hmm.
And to jump right in, I can't really say what episode center is it focused on. It's like all over the place, but I guess we get a little bit with Amra and Mocha. I guess we discover them. They were children a long time ago, and they're, I guess, work with Macbeth for quite a while. So mm-hmm. It's like, almost makes you wonder, like, you know, are they clones of something? Or, I guess, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I'm thinking, like, maybe they're kids that get maybe the ego block transplanted to them, so they take a new body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because after all that, we get Mocha kind of like, and it's standing in the mirror and talking about like avatars and stuff, like how they like their new body. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's why they get their new bodies in this world.
Yeah, I think they say something, I'm forgetting the exact term, like designer body.
Yeah, designer children, yeah.
Yeah, designer children. So it probably is a thing where they sort of transfer somehow from one body to the other, because Globe shows this sort of old picture and they zoom in and you see them as kids and 99.99% match.
Right, and since, you know, last week Puck revealed that they're kind of a digital soul along mm-hmm. with Tepe, so I'm like, you know, with that, it's kind of something you can just easily download, and so I'm like, maybe you can just download that into a body and that's how you get, you know,
yeah.
their new form, but I'm sure we'll get that later on. But it seems like there's another plot revealed that the reason, I guess, that there's a, I guess, mothership way out in space, mm-hmm. and I guess it stopped moving. So Mocha and Amarok, I guess, are gathering the Oregon energy to, I guess, jumpstart that ship, which I assume the other guys are on there, the other, I guess, planetary gears.
Yeah, and where is it hovering around that?
Uranus. Pretty much. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, this show's got a, you know, libido. I mean, you know, it's a pretty pervy show in not the obvious ways, but enough pervy there.
Yeah, there's enough underline there, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That make you laugh here and there. And I guess while they're doing all this, they kind of mentioned the Cuban Missile Crisis. So there's a little bit of real world history thrown in here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got from that whole conversation was basically keeping the truth from people. If you reveal too much to certain people, they may leak the information and cause a panic.
Yeah.
So, like they're better off not knowing.
Yeah, and it was good for the show to kind of put that in, not necessarily to ground it in reality, but use reality as a basis for the point that they were talking about with firing off a few nukes to sort of get rid of that ship, but the consequences that would come for that could be much greater.
Right, yeah, just, I guess, nuclear war and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you said, it's nice to have that hint there, but it's not necessarily something you gotta, you know, remind you every time, like, oh, I don't want to see, like, I don't suspect they're going to 9/11 reference all terrorism. I don't think they're going to do anything like that.
Yeah,
but
it's just kind of a small layer to add on to the series.
Right. Yep. I'll revate, I guess, going back to all the secrets and stuff of Globe and Macbeth, and everyone's mm-hmm. kind of being sneaky. That's kind of interesting. And after all that, we get some stuff with our main cast. You know, Akari, Daichi, and Tepe and Hana kind of sitting at the house eating watermelon together, kind of having a conversation about, you know, the way things are now. I guess, you know, Hana kind of revealed that she wishes things could be like this all the time, but Daichi, I think, they're starting to get mature, and they know, mm-hmm. you know, the planetary gears are attacking more frequently. They're resorting to all these, you know, underhanded tactics that even blow up the base, mm-hmm. you know. So Daichi, I think, he's learning right now quickly that it's, you know, not time to play around right now.
Mm-hmm. And you see the show's sense of humor shine through here in a scene where you expect, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of hardships ahead, and, you know, we're going to have to work together. And Tepe's worried about, you know, what if I turn into a kilt gang again? But then Daichi and Akari are like, can you believe we're having a super serious conversation while eating watermelon?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But and the face that Daichi makes in one of the shots is pretty funny, kind of you know, in a moment that could have been very, you know, serious and kind of heavy, you know, just insert a little fun there.
Right, and I think that's like Akari and Daichi play off each other well like that, because you know, like Tepe and Hana, we both kind of said last week there, they're interesting characters, but at the same time, by themselves, they're not very interesting.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
By pairing them up with these other humans, it kind of gives them some of that. But Daichi, he's kind of like the almost the lively one in the group, with Akari kind of helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it could have been like a very oh ho hum, the world's gonna end moment between these characters. Especially Tepe being kind of somewhat emo lately. I mean, I guess that's what you would call him. And like you said, he's worried about if he does the, if he gets the pilot again, he's going to be this, he's going to change and not be the same as he used to be and all that. But their little conversation cut short because Pitts apparently can predict the attacks that kill the gang now.
Mm-hmm.
So he started freaking out, and I guess Hana was communicating with it, saying that, oh, they're going to attack this place, and she knew exactly where they're going to show up.
Yeah, it's sniffing the screen to kind of point out exactly where they're going to be at, and just adds to the mystery. I believe we've talked about Pitts a few episodes ago about what exactly is Pitts.
Right, and for now, I think it's like a plot thing for to give Hana something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, she's just kind of there, not doing much, so Pitts can talk to her and tell her, oh, when the attack's going to happen, so it kind of gives her a secondary job. And even Akari kind of made the funny comment that makes her sound like she's a heroine of the series. Like,
yeah.
She's got a special role, I guess.
It's kind of like Pitts can be the brains and Hana can be the beauty.
Right, yeah. Together they, I guess, can help, but most people probably roll their eyes at that because it's kind of too convenient for it.
Yeah,
it works.
But I hope that Captain Earth, and I would expect Captain Earth to be better than that, to actually have significance for that.
Right, and you know, Pitts being able to predict the future is kind of a minor thing. I mean, it's not 100%, and I think next episode is going to explore it more to show us that it's not all knowing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that, you know, Daichi's going to prepare to fight, so, but he has a conversation with his uncle or his boss, whatever you call him, that I guess he realizes that his life's in danger every time he gets in the robot. And mm-hmm. a lot of people kind of complain that he doesn't really react the way I think he would, a kid is being put in a situation.
Yeah. His character is kind of interesting because it's the kind of character we like in a series, and, mm-hmm. and I think you and I both like Daichi, but he almost seems a little too conveniently strong in the face of danger.
Right. He definitely puts on a brave face.
Yeah, and it was kind of a cliche scene about, aren't you scared and stuff, and he says, well, I am scared, but sort of the benefit was Daichi saying something that made his uncle think about his dad, and then he kind of came to terms with the fact that this is what Daichi wants to do, so I'll let him do it.
Right, even last week with Hana, their episode where he sees his guardian, he's just like, the guardian asked the other guy, like, is this something only he could do? And he's like, yeah, it's something only he can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like he doesn't really want him to get hurt, but at the same time, he's really got no one else he can put that job on right now. It's kind of the cliche thing with, oh, I got this power, so I should, you know, put the use and help mm-hmm. people with it. And
exactly.
It's very shonen with him. And mm-hmm. it is nice seeing he actually is scared. I mean, he's not like, I got this, no problem, like, shrugs it off, like, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after that, we get the big mech battle, which we haven't had in, I think, roughly two and a half weeks almost.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Amara, Mocha versus Daichi and Tepe, which is a 2v2. It's kind of interesting. And before even Tepe arrived, I think Daichi was getting owned really hard.
Yeah, his uncle was talking about the limited training that he has. And that's, I feel like we've already talked about this, that I like that he's training and stuff, but also that he just isn't that good of a fighter. Like, it,
right.
You know, without Tepe there, I mean, we've seen Captain Earth basically get beat up 3 times.
Right. I mean, every episode, I think he really is, you know, kind of got out by the skin of his teeth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
First episode, I mean, I think Akari was a big help in that fight. second time, I almost feel like he got a little bit lucky in the second fight because Tepe arrived to help him. And the third time, like, you know, again, Tepe saves him again. So it does show you that Daichi's not really that great of a pilot. He needs more training. And yeah, it's like, this, I don't see it ever becoming a rivalry between Tepe and Daichi because, you know, they're both good friends. I don't think it's going to be that like that. But Daichi definitely needs more practice. And he basically tries to take on Amarok by himself. He just gets his arm ripped off, gets crushed, gets smacked around. It's just, it's kind of brutal watching him just get owned. And then Tepe jumps out and like uses his ego block to save him, and he basically destroys that block. And Amarok and Mocha are kind of freaked out because that's like their basically equipment of their soul, basically. Mm-hmm. So if that gets destroyed, he basically die. But they reveal afterwards that it's Tepe's perfectly fine. He's not hurt or anything, and it's kind of weird that he. And then at the end, he reveals he has a live listener. So
yeah,
it's kind of weird how that happened.
Yeah, or he got one from after whatever happened there. But we should also mention before that Akari was the one that had to smack him in the face to say,
right,
you know, you need to go out and help him and stop being emo and stuff. And Hana wanted to go out there and help.
Right.
But
definitely everyone did. Yeah, you said.
Yeah, but that was surprising when he used his ego block to sort of, you know, block the attack and destroyed. But you know, it seemed like he came out okay and got a live laster out of it.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if like if Amarok and Mocha did the same thing, but their ego block, would they get a live laster too? So it's like kind of makes you wonder how they get these guns. Like, it's kind of weird. And I still want to see the purpose of these guns. We really haven't explored what they can do besides Daichi using his
to save people. Yeah.
It's like, I want to know if they can plug that into the Earth Engine and like change its form or give it different power-ups, something like that. And kind of at the end, we get more stuff with Daichi, and they kind of reveal that they finally assembled this team of the, you know, main cast, because all of them contribute something together, and they wear like these weird flight suits, and Daichi's nominated as the captain of this team, and it's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Midsummer, meaning Minatsu.
Right, yeah, his last name.
That was a fun scene, seeing him realize that, wait, I'm the captain? You're right. Captain Earth.
And yeah, name the series, in the series. I was not going to do that, but yeah, now we're going to see how this team comes together. You know, are they going to work together? Are they going to butt heads? You know, I could see Tepe being a little bit, you know, not so eager to pilot as much as Daichi, but, you know, maybe Akari can motivate him to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She, you know, while Daichi's kind of the guy that leads by example, and Akari's the one that's kind of do as I say.
Right. She's the motivator.
So I could see them both in kind of a leadership role in their own ways.
Right. That's true. And, you know, Hana and Tepe kind of just go along with the flow, I think.
Yeah.
And let's say, explore the whole thing with Tepe. You know, the more he fights, the more memories he gains. And he has to probably make the choice, you know, in the middle of the series,
mm-hmm.
where he really stands. And I think that's kind of the episode. Anything?
Nothing specific plot-wise, other than it feels like the show's finally, truly starting. It's taken a while to get all of these pieces in place, to get all of these characters established. We've had the Tepe and Akari episode. We had the Daichi and Hana episode last week. And now it feels like we have a bit of a clearer idea of what's going on, what views do this faction have, what views does this faction have. Everything feels like, at least now, it's falling into place. There's still questions that we have that are waiting to be answered, but it feels like we're in a spot where things can get rolling now that Daichi and the other kids are actually a part of Globe.
Right, and that they actually have a purpose slash kind of job now. And Daichi's kind of, you know, finally realizing that if he doesn't do anything, the world's going to get pretty much enslaved or blown up, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's nice seeing that. And for some like extra stuff, yeah, like some mocha fan service at the beginning. Yeah. Trying on some new clothes. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, well, here
And
we
just
go.
wearing some lingerie.
Yeah, pretty much. And the other random thing, it's not really anything funny. It's just, I like how all these people are like trying to backstab each other. You know, they're being sneaky behind the scenes. You know, you got the planetary gears aligned, the Macbeth and Cube and globes hiding all these secrets and just all this stuff like that. It's pretty funny. And Akari Tepe, again this week, and you know, they're showing that they're kind of a good couple, sort of, right now.
Yeah, other than just Akari having to push him to go into battle,
Right.
we still haven't seen that personal scene yet between those two. Well, there was the bit in episode 5 that we saw that they were talking about their parents, but still waiting for more on that to materialize.
Yeah, same here. Well, if there's anything nothing else to add, that's been the episode. Talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.